So it's a good news, bad news situation, Momo. Good news, bad news.
What's that?
What do you want first?
Good news.
Okay, the good news is that Travis and Sliwa are going to be on for 3 hours starting Tuesday at 9:55 in the morning. What's the bad news?
What's bad news?
Bad news is that they are on the scoreboard at SoFi Stadium. That's the bad news. Yeah, still bugs me. Hey, Momo, Linz, did you ever figure out the good mother groom dance song that you're going to use at the wedding?
Nope. I'm not using anything. It's not my wedding. It's my brother's wedding. And my brother asked my mom, like, what do you want to pick for the mother groom dance? And my mom asked me, and I was like, I don't know. Like, is there like a list of songs that people use as like mother groom dances, you know?
What do you think, Mama? A mother groom dance? That's kind of a weird thing.
I think people do that. Yeah, I think Nevin did that with his mom.
So,
yeah, I think
what's
it's
a good
a thing,
song
but
for?
Like, what's the song? I was like, I don't know, Mom, maybe you have to Google it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, is there a song that, I don't even remember what he picked. There was definitely a song. It's like whatever your mom's favorite song is. Like, she probably
picked it.
Whatever your mom's favorite song is.
Yeah,
that's
a good way to go.
Yeah, I would I think she picked, like, Barbra Streisand or something. Like,
oh, good God. Good God. Yeah. All right, so it's football season. That means there's going to be fights. And I've never been in a fight at a game. I don't think I've ever really been around a fight at a game. Yeah. Have you?
Yes, and I am not proud.
Oh, wait, tell me.
Oh, gosh, it was so embarrassing. So it was the big game, Stanford-Cal, and we won. And so we ran down onto the field, and this was like my freshman year. And so we were like, yeah, we're celebrating the game. And then all of a sudden, all the fans from Cal came down onto our field. And they were kind of aggressive. Like, it wasn't to like celebrate with us. It was to like scare us. And we were just embarrassing. Like, we did not stand there and try to hold the field. We just turned and ran.
Well, I don't know that that's the wrong answer.
I know. I'm like, oh, I have my whole life ahead of me. I'm not going to get in a fight with some Cal people.
I have my whole life ahead of me.
What is this going to prove? To fight some Cal people who are upset they lost? Like, nope.
Yeah.
They tore down our goalposts.
710 ESPN. Have you been around these fights? And then what do you actually do? Jorge, have you been around any of these fights?
Yeah, at soccer matches. They're ugly. They get beer, or at least we think it's beer.
Yeah, it's not beer.
Yeah, it's not beer.
Yeah.
You get soda, you get beer, you get water, you get all kinds of stuff thrown at you. Everybody's shoving each other. The best thing you can do is just get out of the way, man.
Yeah.
Get out the way because, you know, a punch is going to land on you. Or,
yeah, it's just worth it.
You're going to have somebody that doesn't even know you fighting you. It's just crazy. It's not a good environment.
At what point did you get to the time in your life where it just really wasn't worth it?
Five. there was one fight in a sandbox when I was little, and after that I said no thanks.
Yeah, no.
I got in one fight in my life with Tom Pierce, fourth grade, popcorn head. I've told the story. The other one, you know, I tend to run. I think you get out of the way and you call whatever that number is on the screen.
Yeah.
There's always that, hey, call this if you're in trouble number. Yeah. You call the I'm in trouble number and you get out of the way. And I don't think you try to break it up.
Yeah.
I'm not getting in the middle of it trying to break it up because then you wind up in the fight.
That's how Linz, you get stabbed or something. I mean, that's,
Linz, have you ever been around a sports fight?
No, I mean, I feel like I don't really go, haven't been to a ton of sporting events as a fan recently. And even when I am, it's always baseball games. Like, I don't really go to, I haven't been to many basketball games as a fan or NFL games. And baseball games, I don't really see a lot of fights. I don't think people fight a lot of baseball games. Do you?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it too. Yeah. Football's the big one.
Not frequently. Yeah.
NBA,
games.
You don't. By the way, if you've not seen that Netflix documentary at Malice of the Palace, wow, is it good. Wow, is it good. It's like a frame-by-frame explanation of exactly what happened when and what caused this and what excited that. It's on Netflix. It's called Malice at the Palace. It is a great documentary. Let's go to Damian in L.A. Damian, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
So, yeah, last time, I'm a Packer fan. Me and my family, all my good friends are Packer fans. One of the last times Packers played up in Candlestick Park against the Niners, boo Niners, anyways, yeah, so it was, you know, a lot of just talking smack back and forth, and one Niner fan started talking ill of the ladies that we were with.
Oh.
One of the gentlemen that we were with took exception to that, jumped over a crowd of about five people, came down with a thunderous right hook, knocked the guy out cold. Ooh. We scattered in every different direction.
Just ran.
That's the right thing to do, right? Did
yeah,
you have
run.
Any hesitation? Did you ever think, hey, I'm going to get in this. I'm going to break this up. I'm going to stop. I'm going to de-escalate this fight.
Well, unfortunately, that was one of the many times that we were in altercations and sporting events. So you kind of know the rules after a while.
Ooh,
you
what are the
you
rules?
Do what you got to do and you scram.
You scram.
Yeah,
I like
scram,
that.
You meet up. You scram. You meet up at your seats, and there's like. Fortunately, Packer fans travel well, so it was hard to pick us out.
So here's my other redirect. Okay, when you're in the fight, does it matter if you know the like how good of friends you are with the person who's involved?
Oh.
Well, I would say this. Depending, it just really depends on the people or the type of crowd that you're in. Because I'm a Dodger fan. I've been at Dodger Stadium where Dodger fans have backed up fans from other teams when the guy's just in the wrong. So it really just, it's a situational thing. It really, you know, if it seems fair, like what happened to that guy at the preseason game,
yeah.
at the Rams game, that
yeah.
sucks, dude, because literally nobody helped that guy. And that's Rams Stadium, so I don't know.
Yeah, he did get the crap kicked out of him. And it was that woman's fault who threw the cup.
Yeah, it was all her fault.
The woman who threw the cup just incited the whole thing. Hey, Damian, thanks a lot for the phone. Glad you're safe,
you're the best.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been to a lot of sporting events because a lot of times our seats are in the crowd. And there's people who, they just start talking smack. Like,
yeah.
they just try to, especially if it's the home team losing and it'll be a fan of the road team, and they'll just talk smack to the home fans. And I always think, like, you are just asking for it, man. Like, you're just trying to, it's not funny. You're just rubbing it in, and
yep,
somebody is going to get mad and do something to you, right?
There's a difference between cheering and, I guess, you know, jeering a little bit at the
yep.
other team, but inciting is a different thing. Let's go to Jason and Downey. Jason, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? So I got a perfect person to play Momo. Amy Poehler Momo for you. I think it'd be great.
Oh, I like Amy Poehler.
That's a great call. Yeah, Amy Poehler.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So I was at Petco last week when the Dodgers swept them. I made the trip, and, man, a big old fight ensued. And it was Padres on Padres. But there's nothing really you can do. They were literally two rows in front of me. And all we did was just the people in back with me climbed up a row because we just didn't want to be a part of it. And they were nice enough to like kind of help us up just so, you know, people were also rushing down to get to that fight. And with security, people get mad at, oh, how come security can't do nothing? You got to remember, they're not really trained security. They're just regular people who got hired and, you know, they don't want to get hit the way we don't want to get hit. So I know people get mad for people recording, but
yeah.
there's just nothing you can do. Just kind of stand ground. I'm really glad my wife didn't go with me.
Yeah.
But Momo, you said, yeah, if you're far enough to run, run, that's fine. But if you're around other people that are trying to avoid it, just stick together. Don't try to stop it yourself because, you know, if they see one hand from you, they're going to think, oh, they want some of this, and then you might get hit. So just always be on the lookout. Have a great day, guys.
All right. Thanks very much, man. Yeah. For some reason, I mean, Dodger Stadium, there are fights. There just are.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, Lindsay, you go to Indians. I don't think fighting is a big thing at Indians. It is a big thing at Dodgers games for
it is.
Some reason.
It is.
It's just
when I
a reality.
See it, I just get out the way. I'm just like,
yeah, get out
but,
the
but
way.
But I wonder how I would be if it was – okay, so I was – I'll tell a story. I went to a Dodger game with some of my girlfriends, and these are my girlfriends I play softball with, and we're sitting up in the stands in down the left field line, like pretty far down the left field line. And one of my friends is smoking hot. She is, I think she's 50-something, but she is awesome for 50,
right?
Right,
right.
And she definitely dresses like, man, if I'm going to be in this good of shape when I'm 50, I'm going to show it off. Okay, so she dresses a little provocatively.
Okay.
And these guys progressively were getting, sitting next to us, were getting drunker and drunker and drunker. And they just kept hitting on her. And I was like, and she, you know, she can handle herself, but it was like, she was already saying, okay, like, no, first of all, she's not married. She has a kid. She's like not interested at all. Okay. But at one point I decide I'm going to get involved. Like, this is enough. You're ruining the game for all of us. Stop sloppy drunk guys hitting on my friend. And so she, like, they said something, and I decide to stand up, and I'm like, that's enough. Yes. And he was like, what? And I was like, she's not interested. You need to stop. Let's watch the baseball game.
Wow.
And,
that's bold.
And the guy was like, they looked at me like, what? Whoa, what am I doing? And I was like, you know what? Let's switch seats. And so she was sitting next to them, and I get up and I walk like two or three seats over, and I sat right next to him like, I'm such a narc right now. Like, I'm so like, like, you, let's you hit on her now.
Right. After that.
After that.
You shut him down.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a good call.
I think that's a good call. But I mean, it could have gone bad.
Could have.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I didn't say you drunk a-hole. I didn't say that. I just said, that's enough. But I was very stern. I used my, like, stern voice.
Stern voice.
Did that make you stop if I used that voice?
Yes, he does hear it.
Stern voice.
That's enough.
You know who stops me cold, dead in my tracks?
Who's that?
Lindsay.
Oh, yeah. Lindsay's got that voice. She does.
Lindsay, no matter what I'm doing, if Lindsay says stop, I would probably stop.
What do you mean? Like, if we were at a game,
you know,
and
I would
the
too.
Situation?
You got
no,
that
no,
voice
no.
Too.
Just in life, like when we're doing the show, if you say stop, I'm like, Jorge has this power.
I was going to say, you never listen to me. Come on.
Jorge says, that's enough. And I go
break time.
Yeah. No, but Jorge says break time with a little laugh.
Yeah, he does. All right, coming up next for you, I'm really excited about this. We haven't talked to him in a long time, and the Dodgers are in first place. Ooh. Let me repeat, the Dodgers are in first place. We will be joined by our friend Bill Plunkett.
Yes! Here's
one of the things I have a question about is what they're doing to address Cody Bellinger's struggles. Mm-hmm. Bill has written a lot about this. We'll talk to him about that, plus the pennant race. We're getting ready for the Giants starting tomorrow in San Francisco. I wanted to check real quick. Anybody got a Giants score handy? Giants are playing this afternoon. We're either going to be a full game ahead or we're going to be in a flat-footed tie going into that series. The Giants are playing right now in Milwaukee.
I'll get you that score. One sec.
Yeah, and the score right now is 1-1.
1-1.
Giants and Brewers 1-1, bottom of the sixth, so pitching duel there. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Bill Plunkett coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One of the great records ever made, for my money, Don Henley, Boys of Summer. And it is all about the Boys of Summer right now. For the first time in 7 years, right, we are actually in a pennant race. Giants now 1-1 with the Brewers. If they lose that game, we've got a one-game lead on San Francisco. If they win that game, we are in a flat-footed tie. And it has been pointed out to me that flat-footed tie is a totally made-up expression that I have. Flat-footed tie.
I get what that means.
You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And of course, the Dodgers win last night. Really impressive win. Another win where they come from behind in the bottom of the eighth inning. Last night, Kenley, Blake Treinen not available, so Joe Kelly got the save. And A.J. Pollock, the big hit in the bottom of the eighth inning to put the Dodgers ahead. And that means we're in first place for the first time since April. Since April. And I think the wheels are coming off the Giants. Let's put that question. And by the way, if you are a reader of the Tahunga Tribune or the Toluca Lake Times or the Pomona Press, the Azusa Announcer, any of these papers, you know our friend Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group. Bill, what's going on, man?
You give me that kind of an introduction and then end it with our friend?
Our friend, yeah, we love you, Bill.
That's not a friendly introduction.
I said Southern California News Group. That's the
actual
thing,
I'm an alumni
thing,
of the
right?
Southern California News Group. It's a big chain. It's a big,
yes, it is.
Covers all
Whittier
of Southern
California. Outlook, Long Beach Press Telegram. Yeah, we're everywhere.
You're big time, Bill.
From sea to shining sea. Well, I am, but I'm not sure about the news group.
So let me ask you, Bill. So we're in first place, first time since April. We're unbelievably excited about this.
You own a piece of the team?
I'm a wee guy. This is my team,
are
man.
Are you one of those 40 pitchers that they've used this year. I didn't notice you out there.
Let me say something, Bill, before we go any further. You know, when you're at the World Series, the Southern California News Group pays your way. When you see me at the World Series, it's my dime. That's how much I care. That's why it's a we, man. It's a we. I'm following them all the way to the World Series, no matter what it costs me. All right, so let's talk.
No one has ever accused you of being an unbiased journalist. I know that.
I am not unbiased. I am nothing but biased. All right, so Cody Bellinger, you wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. He is continuing to struggle. What are the Dodgers actually doing to address this?
Well, they've attacked it on a couple fronts, and the main one, at least as they're selling it to us, is his front shoulder. He had the surgery in November on his front shoulder to tighten up the joint. He, you know, popped it out of its socket multiple times over the years. And the thing they're trying to sell us on is that he didn't have an off season to build up strength, that he had the early injuries, you know, to his legs, limited what he could do. And all of this has had an effect on his swing, the front shoulder being the firing mechanism where you start your swing and so on. And he hasn't driven the ball the same as he has in the past. Okay, that's one factor. Cody needs to work out, build up strength in the front shoulder.
Okay.
The other half of it is his mechanics have changed just so drastically from 2019 in drastic ways, in subtle ways, all of that. And they're trying to get him back to a swing, a setup and a swing mechanics that gets the proper results. He has popped up and hit, you know, medium range fly balls more than anybody I can ever think of.
Yeah.
Partly because of the front shoulder, he can't drive the ball quite as well, but also he's just dipping underneath everything, trying to lift and drive the ball. And it's just not working. And that part of it has not been, he hasn't addressed that very well. He hasn't found the mechanics where he can just drive balls and get hits.
Let me ask you something specific about last night related to Bellinger. So I'm watching the game last night, bottom of the seventh inning. And I know I'm nitpicking here because we won the game and all that stuff. So Ricardo Rodriguez, right-hander, is on the mound for them. We've got runners on first and second. The game is tied 2-2. Roberts announces Bellinger as the pinch hitter. And Brian Snitker goes to a lefty, and Bellinger has been unbelievably bad against lefties. And he could have pinch hit Albert Pujols right there. Again, in a tie ball game, go righty on lefty. Why do you think Dave didn't do it? Do you view it as a mistake?
No, not. I mean, I understand why he did it. He was saving his bullets for later. Assuming that it's a tie game, you know, this thing could have gone for a while, might have come back around, and you might have needed Albert to pinch hit in a different situation. I don't know the Braves bullpen that well. I know they had Matzik still out there, another lefty, so he might have been viewing that as a matchup he could get later, and he didn't want to burn two guys in one spot at that point in the game.
Got it. Yeah, I disagree with the move. I would have flipped Albert Pujols.
I think that's a good point, Bill. I didn't think about that. I thought he was maybe like, if Cody comes through there, that really builds his confidence against lefties. Because when somebody's
he's not thinking about that. Not in September. Not in that. You know, as important as these games are now, it's not time to build anybody's confidence. Those days are gone.
Well, and I think they have so much depth now that you really can't give anybody time to work through things. Like they've been kind of giving Chris Taylor some space to work through whatever he's going through. But there's a pretty quick hook now if you're not producing.
Yeah, because there's options. You know, early in the year, the options were, okay, we'll play Sheldon Noisy instead.
Yeah.
You know, that's not quite as an attractive an option as you have right now. Yeah, those guys are down in AAA where they belong now. And the roster, you know, the lineup and the roster has gotten longer and deeper. So the options have changed. And I'll say this about Chris Taylor. If you look at his history, he runs hot and cold. Mm-hmm. And right now he might be in a little bit of a cold spell, partly because they relied on him. He played so much for long stretches in the middle of the season when other guys were either hurt or not going well. So yeah, I think in his case, you just kind of wait for the trigger to switch from, you know, cold to hot again.
So, Bill, I said this earlier. Bill Plunkett, Southern California News Group, is on with us. I said this earlier. I think the wheels have come off the Giants. You know, Alex Wood is now gone because of COVID. Johnny Cueto's got an elbow injury. Gossman's dinged up. Desclafani's got an ankle thing. Their starting pitching has kind of fallen apart, and some of their old guys have gone cold. I think time has caught up to them. Do you think the wheels have come off the Giants?
That's probably overstating it, but yeah.
Oh, far be it for me to overstate something, Bill.
No, not you. Not you. Definitely not. Not Mr. Unbiased Journalist. No. they're still a really good team. They're still going to win 100 games, but these are the problems that we kind of expected them to run into, right?
Yeah.
Didn't think the pitching would hold up all year. Didn't think they had the depth in the roster that the Dodgers have. It's taken 130 plus games to get there, which is, you know, to the Giants' credit, they have had a fantastic season, and they've had so many guys step up, you know, who were unexpected, Lamont Wade and Donovan Solano and so on. But yeah. Now that lack of depth, this is a 162 game season. This is a marathon, and they're starting to stumble now. Because they don't have the depth of a team like the Dodgers. And again, I've said this all along. I give Farhan Zaidi all the credit for this.
Yeah.
He is as good as anybody in baseball in squeezing advantages out of a 26-man roster. And that's what they've done all year. I mean, he's found players for them just the way he did when he was with the Dodgers. You know, he found Chris Taylor and Max Muncy and people like that when he was in L.A., and now he's finding them and getting the most out of that roster up in San Francisco. It's just that they don't have the built-in depth or the system to fill in over the course of 162 games that the Dodgers do.
Okay, last thing for you, Bill. If the Dodgers sweep, is it over?
No. They still have, you know, plenty of time after that.
Bill, that's not what he wants you to say.
No, I say the Dodgers sweep, it's over, Bill. Dodgers sweep, it's over.
Because Steve's super unbiased.
Well, if you say so, I'll alert the commissioner's office and let them know. I'll start planning my playoff travel based on your declaration.
Who do you think is going to get the wild card, by the way? The two wild cards.
I think the Padres and Giants will probably be the two. I think the Reds are, you know, making a good run, but I think the Padres are the better team. You know, you'd have to look at their schedules down the stretch and compare the two. I think the Padres have a pretty tough schedule down the stretch. So that might factor in, give the Reds a leg up. I think the Reds play the Cubs a couple times, and that's almost, you know, guaranteed wins now with the team that Cubs are putting out there. But
right,
just based on the Padres being the better team, I would expect them to get it.
Hey, Bill, can you settle something for you? I gotta ask Bill something.
Okay, sure. Ask
can
Bill
you settle
a question.
Something for us?
Fire away.
All right. The Dodgers have some decisions to make in terms of who they pay. And Mace coined a new phrase, which I don't think exists, but it made sense to me. He said, donuts to donuts, right? I think it's dollars to donuts, but he said, donuts to donuts. who do you give
all,
the bag to?
That's an outdated phrase.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I freshened it up with donuts
right.
to donuts, Bill.
You did. Okay.
But who do you pay? Well, they got three really good guys. They have to make it. Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Cody Bellinger. Who gets the donuts and the other donuts?
They have a lot of decisions. Well, first of all, Trey Turner, Cody Bellinger, they don't have to pay until next winter.
Correct.
Those guys are both under control next season. So you can let that play out a little longer. This winter, though, they have to decide on Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Chris Taylor.
Wow.
And Max Scherzer now. I mean, these are guys that they're going to have to figure out. I think they've, in their minds, they've moved on from Corey Seager. I think the trade for Turner kind of was the tipping point there. I don't think they commit the money to Corey Seager that he's going to get from somewhere else. So I think that one's kind of off the table.
Yeah, Corey Seager's
Kershaw,
gone.
I think so, yeah. I felt that way from the start, and then the Trey Turner trade just convinced me. They've got their
alternative now, and they don't have to pay for a shortstop this winter. Yeah.
Okay, last thing. Ready, Bill? Last thing.
Fire away.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw, what's the status?
He has thrown a couple bullpens, threw to hitters on Monday. We'll throw to hitters again, I think, Friday or Saturday. We'll do an up and down, meaning it'll be the equivalent of, you know, two innings, 30 pitches or so. And if he comes out of that well, he throws a bullpen early next week, there will be a conversation and a decision to make on whether he needs to go pitch in a minor league game or pitch another simulated game, maybe longer, build up his pitch count. But I think we see him in a major league game within, I'm going to guess, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And then he builds up from there. Yeah, I think when we see him in major league games, he's going to be pitching 3 innings, 4 innings.
Yeah, to start.
You know, just to get him a few starts before the end of the season.
All right. Hey, listen, Bill, thank you very much. We appreciate it as always, and I'll see you at the World Series.
Yeah, I'll be looking for you.
Okay.
I'm sure you will.
Thanks, Bill.
Will you yell when you see him? Will you say, hey, Steve?
Sure he will. We're actually friends.
I know.
We just give each other a little.
I just like the fake feud.
Fake feud. All right, coming up next, how big a house do you need? Like, really, how big a house do you need? I want to ask you.
I like having a big house.
And then at 2:45, 15 minutes from right now, Lindsay's got Radio Tinder, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Mm-hmm. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So, Momo, have you seen Mark Davis's new house that he's building in Henderson, which I guess is outside of Las Vegas?
So they gave me this as a question on Around the Horn today. Okay. You know the game they play on PTI where they say, Mark Davis's house is, and you have to come up with one word?
Yes.
So what would your word be for his house?
Lair.
Lair. Okay.
Lair. It looks like a villain's lair.
It does. It looks like Batman's house. Yeah.
What word did you give?
I didn't have a lot of time, so I came up with a line from the Autumn Wind is a Raider, you know, and it's swaggering boisterously. So I think it's a boisterous house. It's like loud and garish and crazy. And like if you were watching Million Dollar Listing LA or Million Dollar Listing Las Vegas, the real estate agent would say, well, this takes a very particular buyer.
It does.
It takes a very particular
buyer.
Well,
here's what I want to know. So it's 15,000 square feet.
Yes.
How many square feet you got?
3,600.
And I've got about 1,500.
I live in the valley, though. That's
right.
Why you live in the valley.
No, I'm just saying, like, 1,500 is perfectly fine for us. It's Juan and two dogs.
Yeah.
You've got a
family. My old house was 1,200. We were fine. But it was
just
me and
you've got a growing family, and you've got a larger house.
And my kid likes to run.
But I just think, I hear about these houses, you know, with, like, 9 bathrooms and a pool and a bowling alley and a movie theater and all that stuff. And I'm like, how much stuff do you need?
Okay,
wouldn't you rather spend money on really cool experiences instead of on a house?
Yes, but when you are really rich, you can do both. Like, people like that have so much money that they can do both. So they just need something to spend their house on. And the reason why his house is so big is because it's made to look like the Raiders' new stadium in Vegas. It's like a replica of Allegiant Stadium.
Swaggering boisterously.
swaggering boisterously.
I think it's obnoxious.
I do.
Oh,
too.
That's the word. That's what, where were you when I needed you? I could have won the showdown.
It's too
I was
much.
Thinking. I know. I was just thinking about it, and I was like, I feel like yeah, obnoxious is the word because I told Mace I think it looks like. Remember that show? It was a cartoon called Inspector Gadget. Like,
yes.
I thought it was Inspector Gadget, right? It's the villain in that is Dr. Claw, I think, and it reminds me of like Dr. Claw, a place Dr. Claw would live.
It looks like something out of Star Wars.
Yeah, it kind of does.
It looks like you know the. It looks like the. Not the Death Star, but it looks like.
So June Lee, who was on with me, he won. He totally got all these points for this. He said it looks like Carlo Ren's lair, you know, the house. I don't know.
Have you been to the Roomba yet, the Raider Stadium?
I haven't. No, I haven't been anywhere. It's been COVID time, you know? I just stay home.
I wonder how.
I barely even get dressed. I get dressed to come to the office, and that's it.
I wonder how the new Raider Stadium compares to new Rams Stadium. I think
nothing.
We blow them out of the water, don't we?
Yeah, of course. Come on.
Got to.
This is amazing. I mean, that like.
God, I hate the Raiders.
No, you don't.
I do.
You
I hate
do
the
not
Raiders.
Hate the Raiders.
I do. I hate them.
Seriously?
When I was a little kid, I hated the Raiders.
Play the song.
No.
I'm just going to play
please
it.
Please don't. Oh, God.
How awesome is this song?
No. No.
You
no,
wish you had
Raiders.
A song this cool.
My brother Brian was a big Raiders fan, and I was a big Rams fan when I was a little kid. My mom was a Steelers fan, and my dad was a Cowboys fan. So they were all in the playoffs every year. So we always had fights.
Yeah.
In intra-family fights.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I lost most of them until 1979 when Ray Malavasi and Vince Ferragamo took the Rams to the Super Bowl. We lost. We led at halftime, ultimately lost to my mom's Steelers. But that was the only time that in all those years, my favorite player was Lawrence McCutcheon. Do you remember Lawrence McCutcheon?
Yeah.
Favorite player was Lawrence McCutcheon. Ground Chuck Knox. those were my teams. And it's really, I think there's some sort of strange symmetry in me being a little kid and being a Rams fan.
Yeah.
And now me winding up as a season ticket holder and on the radio station that carries the Rams. It's like, what are the odds of that?
It's pretty great. I think for you, it is really meaningful. I have to give you a lot of credit. You are a real member of the Ramley. Like you
yes.
went during the Jeff Fisher years at the Coliseum when they were happy to win a game 14-10.
I was there when it was Case Keenum.
Oh, man.
I was there for a game against Miami, rain pouring rain. And they came from behind and beat us. And we just stood there and took the L. That was rough. And, okay, go ahead and play this, Jorge. This is the only Rams song in existence.
Come on, people. We're in Los Angeles.
Somebody.
Somebody get on YouTube.
Jimmy Jam, who's a regular listener to this show. Somebody who's a recording artist. Somebody who's got a studio in their house or can get to a studio. Do a better Rams song because I want to rival the Autumn Wind as a Raider. I want something better.
You cannot make it in L.A. without that song. And now, there is something weird. The Lakers and the Dodgers both claim I Love L.A. as their
Correct.
Song. I don't know if
the
that's
Rams do
fair.
Not.
Yeah. The Rams could claim I Love L.A. They could just do that.
It would be hacky. Now the two teams use it. It would be hacky. For
also,
the
they left L.A.,
the
so that's weird.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Radio Tinder's coming up next. It is legitimately my very favorite part of the show, and we will do it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Okay, we get it. We get it. Follower. 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 Lynn?
Yeah. And if you follow me on Instagram, maybe I'll let you guys in on some of my singing, like I was just doing during the break, singing the Bernie song.
Yeah. How's that song? There was actually a song about Bernie Kosar.
Well, it was the Louie song, you know, like Louie, oh, baby, whatever that song is.
And it went Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie, oh, baby, how you can throw. It was so bad.
Yeah, that is
Super
bad.
Bowl.
All right, what do you got going on there, Linz? What's up?
Okay, well, speaking of football, as Aaron Rodgers prepares for another season with the Green Bay Packers, his fiancée, Shailene Woodley, will be showing her support from afar. In an interview with Hot Living earlier this week, the Packers quarterback said that he doesn't think the miles between him and the 29-year-old actress will be an issue. He said, quote, "It's a busy work time for her, so my decision probably came at a good time for both of us to be able to focus on our work. She enjoys working and her own routine, which I obviously enjoy too." So basically, they're going to have like a long-distance relationship
right.
going on. Do you think that these two will last through this NFL season? Swipe left or swipe right?
Long-distance relationships are super, super hard. Have you ever been in one?
Oh, yeah. I've had two long. Like, my two only relationships I've ever had at one point were long-distance. And I actually kind of prefer them because I'm such a loner.
You are a loner, yeah, yeah. I think long-distance relationships are tough. I think when famous people get together, there are lots of ways to go wrong. You work with somebody, you fall in love with them, you're an athlete, and you hook up on the road. I give them, like a 20% chance of survival. Momo, what about you?
I think, 20% sounds about right. This actually seems like a decent relationship with Aaron. And Shailene, what was she doing? She got him doing these Ayurvedic cleanses and stuff, and he was
right.
I mean, he was getting into all the.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, she is. It seems like a good relationship, and sometimes it takes being in a relationship with somebody who understands what it's like to have a passion for something and commit yourself to it and work on the road and be on the road all the time, like. Nevin and I work because he started in newspapers as well, and so he understands what my job is. Like, he gets, like,
right, he a understands lot of,
yeah,
it.
Why am I gone? Why am I gone at night? Why aren't you in the weekend? Like, when news happens, I got to drop everything, breaking news, right? Like, he understands all that because he did that life. So I think sometimes if she was just a civilian, I don't know if it would work, but I think the fact that
a civilian.
Yeah, a civilian, right? I think they have a chance.
But only 20%.
Yeah, it's still pretty hard, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
these
Aaron
kids
Rogers,
found love.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want. I don't know. I feel like when you first like get together with somebody and it's like love bombing and it's like
the honeymoon period. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's how they were. And like before that, he seemed like a very private person. He was never really big on social media. And in a way, it almost seemed like a lot of the stuff that he was doing on social with Shailene is kind of like forced or like, oh, I'm doing this to make her happy. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they are really in love, but it just seems like if
maybe
you really
they're
care,
soulmates, Linz. You know, they're soulmates.
I don't believe in that, but I have to be a little, the skeptic in me has to wonder if, if everyone needs to know what you're doing on social media, then like, is that really a real relationship? Because if you really were enjoying each other's company that much, do you need to share it with everyone? That's kind of how
true.
I get to those things.
True. Yeah. All right. What's next?
All right. Joy Behar. Is that how you say her name from The View?
Yeah, Joy Behar.
Joy Behar. She has been a staple on the long-running chat show The View for 23 seasons. And in a recent interview with People, the now 78-year-old host reflected on the show's legacy and how she's kept her job all these years.
Yeah.
She said, "Well, I've gotten in trouble a few times on the show. I've had to apologize, which I'm happy to do in order to save mine and everybody else's job. I don't care. Even if I don't mean it, I'll do it. Even if I look like I'm in a hostage takeover, I'll still do it. Because if you don't do it, you lose your job and everyone else's."
Wow.
Have you guys ever said anything on the air, or Ramona, maybe in your case, wrote something that you had to apologize for, even though you didn't really mean it? Swipe left,
Mama?
Or swipe right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you give us an example?
Nope. yep. That was... Sure, yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to say, yep. I don't want to revisit that
I'm
one.
Gonna...
Don't want to get aggregated. No thanks.
I'm going to swipe. I'm going to swipe right. There have been many occasions in my career. I mean, let's face it. Who is Mason but a blowhard, right? I mean, I just shoot my mouth off about anything. And occasionally I step in it. And, if I'm told to apologize by the powers that be,
yep.
such as they are, I will go on the air and say, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend anybody. I shouldn't have said that, and I won't say it again. In fact, you should record that and just play it after I say something stupid. That's my apology right there. So,
well,
yes.
Nowadays, though, we judge you by the quality of your apology.
Your apology, yeah. Like, is that enough? Does that matter?
So.
Like, is that meaningful? And I feel like that was a very Jack Morris type response you gave there, Mace.
Yeah, but I you think that was Jack Morrissey?
Yes.
Jack Morrissey.
He clearly did not care. In my opinion, I thought that his apology was just a very, I'm doing this because they told me to type of thing.
You're right. Okay, so Jorge, roll on this. I can't tell you how upset I am about what I said, and I had no understanding of what I was saying when I did. And you know what? I am sorry. I want to apologize to everybody from my heart. That's a mistake. I really, really withdraw whatever it's, and you know what? And it will never happen again. I've learned something from this.
I buy that.
I think I buy that.
Yeah, I buy that.
The key problem with these phony apologies is when they use the word if, and they say, I apologize if I offended you. For those of you that I may have offended, I'm sorry. Well, I think that's like your all credibility goes out the window when you say,
yeah, you're
if
not
I
exactly
offended
acknowledging
you.
That you right. said, I'm sorry right. if I offended people. It's like, no, I get it. I understand that I offended people.
Yeah. I'm sorry for offending you.
Yes. Yes. That is the if word is the one that screws people up. All right. What's next?
All right. Last one. So me and you kind of threw this around in our pre-show meeting, and I feel like this is a good radio Tinder topic. Bieber fever. Okay. It's coming back to the VMAs, the stage of the VMAs, in fact. Justin Bieber is going to perform at the award show for the first time since 2015. During the September 12th VMAs, which that's next Sunday. So he's going to join the VMA host Doja Cat, as well as fellow performers Camila Cabello, Chloe, Lil Nas X, Machine Gun Kelly, Shawn Mendes, Casey Musgraves, Olivia Rodrigo, and 21 Pilots. So the VMAs, obviously, they used to be a huge deal, maybe even like as big of a deal as the Grammys at one point, but they're really not anymore. I haven't watched the VMA in years. But is there one performer who would make you have to tune in to watch? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe. First of all, there's zero chance. This isn't a hypothetical world because the VMAs are happening exactly the same time as the Rams opening SoFi Stadium against the Chicago Bears. So I'm going to be there. I can't watch the VMAs no matter what. But the one guy who I think is interesting right now and who is pushing the boundaries a lot is Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him on Saturday Night Live. He was great on Saturday Night Live. He is out there doing his own thing. And I think he is a compelling guy for the VMAs. And he's going to be on there, right, Linz?
Is he really?
Yes, he's scheduled to perform.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his videos, I'm not a person who follows music releases and videos, but like every time he drops a new video, it's like, it breaks the internet. Like it's, you see it everywhere. And he's provocative. He's saying he's, I don't know how else do I put it. He's out and proud.
He's pushing the limits.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think he would be able to do that at an award show though. Right.
I would say that.
I think he
Cardi
will.
B like, with Megan Thee Stallion with their follow up to WAP.
How about Lizzo? Lizzo?
Lizzo's actually really good. Yeah. I like her.
Yeah. She had a good, her latest video is pretty good.
I think Lil Nas X is
Lil Nas X. That's a good answer.
Yeah, he's like a good must watch because like with it being on MTV on cable, I feel like he's probably gonna do like his SNL performance was pretty crazy, pretty outside the box.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So imagine like that times 10. You know,
I don't even
crack.
Understand half of what he's doing, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. He's out there doing his own thing.
Yeah.
His most recent video, when they're in the prison and he has all of the prisoners in the pink jumpsuits, there's one scene where like you don't really notice it unless someone points it out. The one guy slips and falls while he's dancing.
Oh.
It's kind of funny.
So he's always doing videos with Jack Harlow, right?
Yeah.
That's like there's like a I don't follow it all close enough to know all the inside jokes, but there's a lot in there if you're tracking it closely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. There's your Radio Tinder. Thank you very much, Lindsay. let you know that the Brewers and the Giants are tied at one
still?
In the bottom of the eighth inning. So pitcher's duel in San Francisco. If the Giants win, we are in a flat-footed tie with them. If the Giants lose, we've got a full game advantage over them. And don't forget, Giants-Dodgers in San Francisco tomorrow. It is David Price versus Anthony DeSclafani, who's had an ankle thing. And then bullpen games for the Giants the rest of the weekend. I mean, Bill Plunkett was on the show. He disagrees. You know what's weird? He agreed with me without agreeing with me. I said the wheels have come off the Giants. Their starting pitching has fallen apart. Their age has caught up to their old guys. He said, well, I think the Giants are struggling right now, and they may be finished, and it's all – I mean, he gave the nuanced answer, right, because he's a newspaper guy.
You don't like
and
us.
I said, if we sweep the Giants, it's over. And Bill said, well, if we sweep the Giants, it would be very difficult for the Giants.
He definitely did not say we. He certainly corrected you.
Oh, he didn't say we. You're right. He is not a we guy. He's not a we guy. So, again, Brewers-Giants 1-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning in San Francisco. Big game to follow if you're a Dodgers fan. I've got a question about the Dodgers.
Do it.
I've got a question about the Dodgers. The Dodgers celebration signals. Do you understand them?
No.
Okay, Dodgers celebration signals plus China is cracking down on kids playing video games.
Huh?
That's all coming up for you next. Mesa in Ireland, Momo in for John, 710 ESPN.